Psalm 148, verse 14. Inspiring the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. I want to think about this nearness of God, that God's people are a people near to him. And it's the same word that's elsewhere translated near of kin or kinsmen, relatives, or next to. The Hebrew literally means next to, a neighbor, a relative. So God's people, Israel, who have their equivalent now, and those of us who have been baptized into the covenant and who are the seed of Abraham, the new Israel, Israel after the Spirit, we are near to God and he is near to us. And as I say, what does that word mean? Next to, a neighbor, relatives of, near of kin, kinsmen. So God is that close. And you ask yourself the childish question as you look at the sky and as you pick out the stars, why is space so big? You know, why doesn't God live 1 kilometer up in the sky over a flat earth and, you know, that's it. He's up there and we're down here. Why the sheer scale of the whole thing? You know, God is real. God exists as a personal being in some corporeal form. He's not a whiff of smoke in the atmosphere somewhere. He's not a cloud. He is a real, actual person. And he has location, heaven or the heaven of heavens, which is beyond, I guess, all our concept of space and time. But God is there. And yet, he who is so far away, in physical terms, in spiritual terms, is so near to us. The same word is used in Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to them as Yahweh our God is whenever we call on him? So his nearness to us is particularly shown when we call upon him. That doesn't mean that if answers don't come, God is distant. The point is that when we call upon him, when we pray to him, when we worship him, because to call upon God is not necessarily to ask him to give us this, that, and the other. To call upon him is to call his name upon ourselves, which we do in baptism, and to abide in that name. And he is close to us, near to us, a relative of us. How can this God, who on one level is as a man might be to a tiny microbe or ant beneath his feet, that he doesn't even notice. God is even greater than that compared to man on one level. Yet this God is so near and so close to the point of being a relative, a near kinsman, a redeemer, a neighbor, a relative, someone who lives next to us. How is this achieved? Well, I suppose you don't have to ask the question too much how, just accept the wonder of it all. But beyond that, I think this is the significance of his son, that this God who is so far away had a child. God had a son who was a human being, and that son was the Lord Jesus. He had no human father. Joseph was not his father. God was his father, through the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, working upon the womb of Mary, and therefore that holy thing that was born of her was called the Son of God. So God had a son. This is one dimension to the question of how God can be that close, how God can be a relative, and yet God was that to Israel even before his son was born. You could say that was kind of retrospective, as it were, because God is outside of time. He knew that he would have a child, etc. But all the same, he has this feature of being able to be that close. Now, of course, God can do anything. And one of the things that God can do is that he, the God who is so great and is so far away, can be that near to you. Now, in what sense is God near? Is it that you get a sort of a buzz of the presence of another person in the room, as it were, and that sense of presence is God? That would be maybe to interpret it in a more sort of literal sense, and I don't say that that sense is not there. Of course, there is that sense, and I'm sure we've all had those moments when you do feel the presence of the invisible God. And yet he is near to his people when they call upon him, Deuteronomy says. What nation is there that has a God so near to them as Yahweh, our God, is whenever we call on him? It is that calling upon him. When you're desperate, when you wish to identify with him, to have him and his name and his ways called upon you, that's when he is very close. It's why God is so thrilled when somebody is baptized. All the angels of heaven rejoice that someone has called his name upon themselves. And God is in search of man. God is not indifferent. God is not facing off against man over an open Bible saying, well, you crack the riddle, you crack the code, and then I'm there for you. He is proactively searching. I have found David, my servant, he says. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. He finds his people because he searches for them. And of course, we have the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, etc. God, in that sense, is in search of man. And because of that, because of his search for us, we sense that nearness when we, in our turn, search for him and find him. It's not that he was passive and indifferent, and therefore God somehow was in search of us, and he sort of found us. It's not that God was passive and we were searching for him and found him, as if we were looking around, picking up rocks, picking up stones, and, oh, I found it, like a prospector for gold. No, it's not that. It is rather that God is in search for us. As Paul says, it is not so much that we know God as that we are known of him, that he was and is always the first mover. And so this is grace. And according to Deuteronomy 4, this is the unique nature of the one true God. All the other gods, idols and so forth, the conceptions of God pushed in other religions, you really have got to search for them and find them. And is there that sense of nearness? No, there isn't. There is a sense that, as you think, you have academically correctly understood. You've bought into a religion that you think is the best out of all the other religions that are on the shelf. But the God of Israel, the only true God, has this feature of being personally near. And it's that sense which I think is developed more in the New Testament, where we read about the Spirit and God dwelling in the hearts of people. Ephesians 3, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that I might know him. And it is that sense of knowledge of God, of the true God, which in the Hebraic sense of the term knowing means to have a relationship with, not simply knowing facts about God, but knowing him in the sense of having a relationship with him. It's this which is part of that nearness. And the love of God, Romans 5:5, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So this nearness of God comes to its full term in the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby we have this presence of God, this nearness of God in our hearts. And in the Old Testament, this was there too. In Isaiah 66, you know, God says that I don't want temples made with hands. I don't live in brick and mortar structures. But to this man will I look. In other words, to this person will I show my nearness and my presence, to him who is humble and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. This is what God does. He is wanting to be near because he wants to be in relationship with us.